हरिः ओम् श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके सो पेज 112 नारद मुनि कंटिन्यूज Even though I had no experience of foreign lands, I immediately left home and started for the north. After passing through numerous cities, towns, and villages, farms, forests, mountains, and valleys, I entered a densely dark and fearful jungle that was a playground of snakes, owls, and jackals. Okay, we did that footnote, huh? Since I had become very hungry, thirsty, and fatigued, both bodily and mentally, when I arrived at a lake, I drank the water and bathed to refresh myself. Srila Prabhupada 11 through 14. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to 1.6.14. A traveling mendicant can meet the needs of body, namely thirst and hunger, by the gifts of nature without being a beggar at the doors of the householders. The mendicant, therefore, does not go to the house of a householder to beg, but to enlighten him spiritually. So Narad Muni has mentioned, made this point here, is that even though he had no experience, still he went out. This is the element of this fearlessness that's very important. This fearlessness means that one understands one's position as servant of the Lord. Right? If one doesn't have that understanding, there is no fearlessness. Right? Like somebody might be proud. You know, and because of that, you know, they can take on anything. So in that way, they appear to be fearless. But it's not because they actually understand the position. It's just they think that they are very special. Right? So generally in the modern, those who think they're special, they may appear to be fearless. But here, this fearlessness is coming from understanding that one's servant of the Lord. So there's nothing to fear, because one is servant of the Lord, everything's the Lord. And what's to lose, right?
Mm-hmm. Place in France.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But other than that, then it's a matter of the how you say the body. If we're not the body, it's not a problem losing it, mm-hmm. right? Fear comes because we think we are the body, so losing the body that generates fear.
Yes.
Right. But if we see ourselves in relationship with the Lord, then there's no fear. So that way Narad Muni's fearless. He goes through, and then he went through all kinds of places, cities, towns, villages, farms, forests, mountains, and valleys, so that we understand it's a very complete experience, not that he's, you know, otherwise then, okay, you saw a few things, but you didn't see this or that. No, but he's seen everything. That's the whole point. Everything has been seen. And then he's entering the jungle, which then is more of a fearful situation. Because the other one is he was fearless because he went out into a situation he'd never been in before. Right? And experiences he's never been in before. Because if the experience changes, we may become fearful. But then here is actually that it's a dangerous situation. But still, that fearlessness. And then he's making the point that the mendicant, he can take care of himself. Nature's provided everything. Right, and will take care. So his hunger and thirst are taken care of by drinking water. Then his bathing, his place to stay, everything's taken care. So the idea is then going to the householder's house is then for discussing Krishna consciousness. Right, it's an important element from both sides. One is so that one knows that that's what one is going for. Two, that one doesn't think one is maintaining Right? Because that's one of the elements we see in Gita, is that, that the proud person, he's thinking, is I'm maintaining the mendicants, you know, the saintly persons. So therefore, you know, and they're surrendered to God, but I have to take care of them. So that makes me greater than God. Right? Does that make sense? Because even if one is giving something, taking care, one, if one thinks I'm doing this, then it's a problem. No, Krishna is allowing one to, as the medium to do. Just like if they think I'm giving the Krishna consciousness, no, they're a medium for the Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is who's, basically what's happening is Krishna is interacting with Krishna. Right? And then, you know, we're taking part in that fun. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's... Thereafter I sat down in the shade of a great banyan tree nearby and began meditating upon the Supreme Soul within, as I had learned from my spiritual masters. Text 15. In his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada stresses the importance of following the authoritative method of meditation as prescribed by the spiritual master. One should not meditate according to one's personal whims. One should know perfectly well from the authoritative sources of Scripture, through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master, and by proper use of one's trained intelligence for meditating upon the Supersoul dwelling within every living being. So he's giving these three aspects, right? Is that from authoritative sources of Scripture, it can't be just something else, right? Internet's not good enough. Like that. Sorry to say, like that. You know, we don't want to, you know, how you say?
Discourage anyone.
Yes, but yeah. And then that is through the medium of the spiritual master. Right, so it's based on Scripture through the meeting of the spiritual master. Then if what's on the internet matches that, then it's okay. If it doesn't, then forget it. And by proper use of one's trained intelligence. Right? Not that just we have intelligence is not enough. Just like someone has, you know, a horse or a dog or a bull. But it's only through training that you can do something with it. Right? There's this idea, just because I have it, therefore it's perfect, right? And, you know, Hollywood makes billions off of that theme every year. But the reality is you have to train your intelligence.
Yes.
Right? You have to train. So otherwise, if we don't train the intelligence will be there, and it will be as technically or mechanically as good, but it won't be trained in that it's working to control the mind, it will be utilized by the mind. That makes a difference. Because the untrained intelligence means it's just the mind uses the intelligence as it pleases. Then it comes under this whimsical.
Yes.
Right? Because one should not meditate according to one's personal whims. Personal whims means intelligence is being used for the purpose of the mind.
Yes.
Right? And the purpose of the mind is not based on Scripture. Right? And authority of guru. If it is, then that's where the mind is trained. Because in any case, who's going to choose anyway is going to be the mind. But the point is if the mind wants to choose what is the best application of what is recommended in Shastra under the direction of guru, that's good. Right? But if the mind is just doing whatever it does, then it's untrained. Right? So, one may say, well, then the trained mind. Yes, that's there, but that's more of a poetic presentation before it would be called, generally used as an improved mind. But you don't hear that discussed these days so much, right? So then intelligence. But the whole process of receiving information, then analyzing, and then choosing, this whole process is called reasoning. So we'll call that intelligence. Now, if it's based solely on the mind, it's whimsical. If it's based on the intelligence, you know, choosing what is the best application according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, that we call then trained intelligence.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's like the senses are engaged in the Lord's service, it's called bhakti. If they're not, it's called sense gratification. Right?
Yes.
The same difference, right?
Maharaj,
yes.
In that case, the difference would be the prayojana, right? I mean, what is driving intelligence?
Yes, yes, what's driving the intelligence? What's the goal, but also the identity. Because in this section, we can see that element of fearlessness is brought out. Fearlessness also is a indication of nishta. Because in the Bhagavatam, one says one becomes fearless, right? By becoming stable in the devotional process of hearing and chanting, right? So that means that there is that advanced state, right? So it means, as we see before, there was an understanding more advanced than nishta. But the point is that fearlessness becomes prominent at nishta, right? One can perceive it. So now, anything beyond that, it will still be appreciated, right? It'll still be there. So we can see is that it's quite a developed state, because socially he's not worried. He's going to places he's never gone before. And then also for his own security, he's not worried because he's going into this dense jungle, right? So we can say it's quite developed. Like that. But the indications that it's pointing out now, it hasn't brought out the elements of taste or attachment, right? So then he's showing this principle. But as what we see before, is at least the understanding went up into the uttam stage. You could understand that whole process all the way through. Now his practical realization, then we see at least here is minimum nishta. Right? Minimum he's fixed, so he's in the advanced stage, he's a madhyama. So they can travel and preach. And Prabhupada's talking, referring to him as the Parivrajakacharya. So then the traveling preacher. Right?
Yes.
So these are all important qualities. These are the qualities to look for, because we notice that when they're defining the qualification, it's about qualities, not about their particular skill or facilities. Right? That's the important, because these things are independent, right? Let's say for a businessman, then the facilities and the skill is important, because you can't do business unless you have some investment and some stock, something to work with.
Yeah.
You can't be a dairy farmer unless there's cows and land. You can't be you're saying you have to have these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is if you have them, what does that indicate? There's some ability.
Successful.
Otherwise, why would you have them?
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's the point. While the other, the brahminical elements, the kshatriya elements, it's qualities, because you may have facilities, you may not.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Like, I think, Chandragupta. He had nothing. Right? But from nothing, he generated the whole kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like this. So that's the whole point, is that it will develop the other, so it's looked at those because you're dealing with something greater. The other one is more focused on the facilities,
mm-hmm.
the skills and facilities. You, of course, you require skills and facilities, but that expresses these qualities. The other one, whether you have good qualities or not, you can still be a good businessman. You know, probably some of the top business persons in the world may not necessarily have great qualities.
Yes.
Right? It's not important technically to do business. Right? Maybe in the long run, yes. But there is no short in the brahminical and kshatriya elements. Right? So in other words, and ashram means its qualities. So basically you're saying all four ashrams and then Brahman and Kshatriya, it's about qualities.
Yes.
Vaishya and Shudra, then it's not necessarily the qualities, it's the skill that's looked at. Right?
Yes.
He's a great person. He's wonderful. Everyone loves talking to him. But he has no skill. Right? Are you going to hire him? No. You understand? So that's the whole point. But the Brahman, he has the qualities, then there's something worthwhile. You understand?
Yes.
Like that. So, yeah. Okay. So this consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the order of the spiritual master. Okay. So that develops by carrying out the order of the spiritual master. So it goes both ways. You're following the order of the spiritual master. By doing it, you become qualified. So both come. Does that make sense? Sri Naraji contacted bona fide spiritual masters, served them sincerely, and got enlightenment rightly. Thus, he began to meditate. Right? So he heard, he served, and now he's applying. Tad vidhi pranipatena, right? He contacted. Pahadi prashnena, he served them sincerely, and sevaya, right? So then he got his knowledge. Right? As a result of following the instructions of the spiritual master, one can attain the darshan of the Lord. Quote, when my mind was thus concentrated upon the lotus feet of the Supersoul, it became transformed by transcendental love. As tears fell from my eyes, Lord Hari appeared on the lotus of my heart. And upon seeing my beloved Lord, I became so overwhelmed with happiness that all my bodily parts became independently, spiritually enlightened. Right? So independently means is that each one, it's not dependent on the other. Each sense becomes spiritualized. Right? Because on the material, you're doing anything, each one depends upon the other sense. Right? You know, the happiness, you know, going on interaction depends upon that you're not hearing, you know, a truck, you know, 5 feet away. You know, stuff like that. But here it's they all work nicely. Like that. That's one of the things why prema is the limit of development that the soul can manifest in the material body. Right? Because then the problem is beyond, you're dealing with each sense functioning independently in its service to the Lord. And so having five different senses being fully manifesting their, you know, their ecstatic positions and everything, the material body can't handle that. The spiritual body can.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Indeed, I became so absorbed in that ecstasy that I lost sight of both myself and the Lord. 1617, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to 1617, spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narada Muni. Each and every part of the body or sense has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses become fully awakened to render service unto the Lord. Because in the liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. Right? They're not dependent upon the externals. As such, in that transcendental ecstasy, it so happened that the senses became temporarily enlivened to serve the Lord. So now, also from here, from seeing this, is then we can appreciate that. As he said before, he had that realization that brought him to that Hamsa platform. And so now we see when he sits down to meditate, he's getting that same result. So from that, we can understand is that before when he was saying he was going out, he's traveling, and all that, which is very typical of the symptoms of Nishta, then that means it's as an Uttama, he's taking the position of the Madhyama for preaching.
Yes.
Right? And as we see, from that position is Nishta, right? Not Ruchi, not Asakti. Because then people would start to think, oh, there's advancement here. But the whole idea, the Uttama is trying to keep it off of himself and onto the preaching, onto the process, right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But the point is they're always wanting to hear and chant, getting everyone to hear and chant. What does that mean? They have a taste,
yes.
Right? They always like to be in that because they have attachment. Right? But it's not where the discussions are. The discussions are always going to be on the platform of Nishta, being fixed in devotional service, having that understanding, being fearless. So being fearless means understanding you're not the body. Right? So we see Prabhupada. Where is he discussing? On that platform. Right?
Yes.
And we understand it's not just here's an Uttama, but as a Nitya Siddha. Right? So that means And for Braj, it's beyond prema. Right? So, but the point is the position taken is that of Nishta. Because
yeah.
That's your ideal. In other words, the presentation is Nishta, but the internal mood would be Ruchi and Asakti. Because otherwise, how do you get others unless you're always doing? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why wouldn't Arvid do that at this stage? Because he's not preaching yet. He just...
No, but he's out in the public when he's moving and going through the towns. He said cities, towns, villages. That basically kind of covers it. You know? Like that. And then your valleys and mountains, and you know, then you know, gets out into, because where do you find valleys? You know, by the rivers, but generally who lives in valleys? People live there, but what group? Means you some have some developed, but if it's
tribes,
right? So the mountains and the valleys, that's where the tribes generally live. So you've caught all the cities are going to be your most sophisticated, towns are going to be, you know, kind of up to date, you know, villages are going to be more simple, and then the tribal. So he's moved through every situation, right? So therefore, that's the mother. Does that make sense? That's generally the position. So he's taken that. We see in Sukadeva Goswami, he's not even worrying about that. But these same exact symptoms will be there. Because as we said, as you advance, the lower symptoms are already there. You know, as you come to Nishta, you still have Shraddha, you know, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, they're still there. It's just that the level of realization is much greater. Is that okay?
And Maharaj?
Yes.
And since he's five, I think his preaching is little according to his age. No?
Yeah, that would be that. But I mean, the four Kumaras are also five. You know, and they're the spirit. Now, hey, well, that's for us. He's five, but the spiritual masters are five. It's all happening. And they're his brothers. You know, they're the older brothers, right? Because they're the first of the of all the brothers.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
they're the
yes.
first manifestation of Brahma's sons. So they're there.
You've got a good thing going.
Yeah, no, it's all happening. It's all happening. Okay, footnote 61. Bhagavad Gita 4.11 describes the preliminary stage before attaining direct darshan of the Lord in a similar way. Quote, the manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. End quote. Attaining the Lord's darshan is undoubtedly a rare achievement. Nonetheless, by itself, it is not the ultimate goal. This is explained by Srila Jiva Goswami's Bhaktisandarbha, Anucheda 187. Even in his previous birth, when he was still bewildered by material attachments, Sri Narada still felt love for the Lord. Narada personally described this in the following words, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.6.17. O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. End quote. A vision of the Lord is beneficial for the living entity, but it really doesn't have much benefit. What is more important is associating with devotees and developing prema, which controls the Lord. The association with the Lord's glory depends on how much love one has for the Lord. If he sees and doesn't have much love, his seeing is useless, like Duryodhana is seeing the Lord. Without pure love for the Lord, one will not directly see him. Without love for the Lord, one becomes like a person stricken with jaundice, a person whose tongue cannot taste the sweetness of sugar candy. This is described by Rishabhdev in the following words, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.6. Quote, when the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjugated to a fruit of activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again. So here, just because one's seeing the Lord, because we take it as, oh, seeing the Lord, that's the topmost position. It's not the topmost position. The topmost position is having the association of those devotees who have love for the Lord. They control that form of the Lord you're seeing. Otherwise, the sea, because the point is technically everything is the Lord anyway. right? To appreciate that everything is the Lord. Then that, of course, puts one on the spiritual platform. But it's saying that's not actually the goal. That's existence, right? In other words, one's in the position of sat, of existing on the transcendental platform. So that's, of course, better than the material platform. But it's only when you see the Lord with love, then you actually see his opulence. Otherwise, one doesn't. Duryodhana thinks he's just the friend of the Pandavas and always on the Pandavas' side. He knows he's the Supreme Lord, but he doesn't really see that opulence. Because he's dealing with him as if he's just another person. Right. So he's not able to appreciate the opulence. Now, for a person who's very much absorbed in wealth and position and power, you'd think he'd be interested in these things. But immediately, as soon as he saw the power of Karna, he was immediately attracted. He immediately went forward, making him a friend and giving him a kingdom, right? In front of everybody. He's so overwhelmed, right? To him, that's so important, right? So and he can see is that, one, he's inimical to the Pandavas, so that right there automatically basically makes him a friend. But his ability then, now this is good, and he doesn't have a position. So now by giving him a position, then they have that natural relationship. Right? So it's like that. But he couldn't see this in Krishna. Like that. That's the point. So it's only by associating with the devotees you can actually see the Lord's opulence. Yes?
So Mara, this point about the goal. The acharyas, when they sing, they say they're singing for the association of other devotees who are. Is that the reason?
Yes, yes. Because means the point is this: you want to, by seeing the Lord means seeing the Lord's devotees. Because otherwise, here he's seeing the super soul. But that's what makes the difference between the super soul and Bhagavan, is that Bhagavan's with the devotees. Super soul, you're seeing him only seeing the Lord. That's the difference. That's why the yogi can see the Lord, but it doesn't mean he is a devotee. Right? So that's why he can take birth again. So just because you're situated on the transcendental platform, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you're going to have a body, it must necessarily be material. Does that make sense? There's no such thing as having a spiritual form without having a relationship with the Lord. Understand? So one could say, no, but they're liberated. Why would they take a material body? What other body will take? What other is available? Spiritual bodies are for those who have a relationship with the Lord. So even though they're transcendental, they'll have a material body. It doesn't mean they won't be transcendental. But they can only have a material, if they're only on the first, on the platform of sat, right, or chit, that the only body available is material. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
It seems like ecstasy is like a reward, and then it's taken away again when you.
Oh, that'll come up. But here is that these ecstasies are indicating his position of realization, right? Because as we see, we're going through these different stages. Because Narad Muni is showing his perfection, and trying to inspire Vyasadeva. So here then we see ecstasy, that's the platform of bhava, because bhava means there's that consistent element of ecstasy. Right? When there's consistent attachment, that's a sakya, consistent taste, that's ruchi. Right?
Is that like a distraction for him? Like
it's not so much that it's a distraction. The point is that it's not prema. Right? So even here it's saying he has love for the Lord. We have to remember rati is only a budding stage. Right? So when we say the 10 levels of prema, then rati is counted as the first. But it's still only a bud. It's not fully bloomed. Right? So once it opens, that's prema. So it indicates the position. So it's not as much, it's more just, it's not even as much a reward. We might look we might be inspired to see that from that aspect. Because he's, you know, worked hard, he has this realization, he's surrendered. But the point is the reward is actually the association of the devotees with that particular love for the Lord. That's the real thing, right? That's why it's a question. By the grace of Krishna, one gets Guru. By the grace of Guru, one gets Krishna. Right? That's the position. Because knowing Krishna without the devotee then doesn't really... what's the position of interaction? What will you do? You know? Hi! Nice arms.
Yeah. There's a nice example of that. Dobi in Mathura, in his previous life, actually, all he wanted is to see the Lord.
Okay.
This was his like main meditation.
Okay.
And he got darshan, but as you described, he chastised the Lord and then.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really successful.
Yeah, not successful. Yeah. Or that one. You know, the old lady would collect firewood. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Same thing. She had darshan, but, you know, wasn't a quality interaction. So these examples are given. Even of service. Prabhupada tells that story of that pujari in Puri. He used to collect the bath water for the Lord. And so at the time of death, he was worried who's going to collect the bathwater. So he's only thinking of the bathwater. He didn't think of the Lord. Right? So the whole point is here's seeing the Lord, here's the service to the Lord, because we would think, no, that's fine, that's perfect. Yes, you can say it's perfection. You have to, it means as we go, this will be brought out more and more. The term perfect or perfection refers to being liberated. It doesn't refer to prema. Mm-hmm. Like that. Prema already includes it, so it means that's there. But the term perfection means that you're not materially situated.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it is perfect, but it's not the ultimate goal. The prema is the ultimate. And that is, then, as pointed out here by Vishnu, is the association of those with prema. That's the real importance. Just like the living entity is born into Braja, but until he gets the association of the Nitya Siddhas, he doesn't develop prema. So it all goes back to sadhu sangha. There's only sadhu sangha. That's the whole thing, from beginning to end. Even to start the process is sadhu sangha. To cultivate the process is sadhu sangha. Once it's come to prema, it's still sadhu sangha. Like that. All that's being offered to us is the lifestyle being offered in the spiritual world. We'll take it as it's something different, and this and that, and maintain our attachment to our own lifestyles and cultures and all that. But I was just thinking of it the other day. Now, the gopis in Vrindavan, right? Then, are they householders? Yes, because if they're not householders, how much freedom do they have, right? The young gopis, the unmarried gopis, we never hear of them going out and being with Krishna. The Katyayani Vrata, yes, but it's one lila. That's all we hear about. You understand? All the other gopis you hear about, they're all married. Otherwise, if they're not married, how are they out of the house? Right? Right? Now they can move between houses, but they're not out just out in the field, but they can move between houses because they're a great hospice now. Right? They're married, so they have that position. So they all have houses. That means they all have husbands. There's families, right? It means it's not just these aren't, you know, we're not talking about an apartment in New York here. You know, we're talking about full families here. You know, it might be 30 people, 50 people in the house. Okay? Right? That's why things can go on when they're out with Krishna, right? Because there's another whole bunch of people to take care, right? You know, otherwise, then it'd be a real problem, right? See, nuclear families aren't cool in the spiritual world. Right? So, otherwise, who's going to be cooking lunch if you're out at Radhakund, right? Isn't it? mean, these are real considerations, yeah. No? You know, Yoga Maya has to come and cook all the chapatis. They have any, you know, like that. You know, so the point is they have a family. They're doing all their duties, as we see by Rupa Goswami's explanation of spontaneous devotional service. They're doing their duties better than the others in the family who aren't in a paramour relationship, right? So, what is being asked of us here? The same thing. You have the house, you have the family, you do all your duties perfectly, but the attention's on Krishna. That's why you're doing it. So they're taking care of the house nicely so they can serve Krishna. Right? That's the whole point. If you're not a householder, they can't go out and serve Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So it's all about, because when they say, oh, we have to be a householder, then I can do my service. Yeah, but who said otherwise? Right? That's the way, that's the process. You understand? That's the whole process. So we're not being given something separate than the lifestyle of the spiritual world. But, oh, no, that doesn't apply now. It's modern age and this and that. We have to do this, we have to do that. Where does all this come from? Right? Comes from the material world. It doesn't come from the spiritual world. Right? We're saying Yukta Vairagya, the gopis are already doing that. They're already engaging their situation in the Lord's service. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's... Okay, so therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept the material body again and again. Right? Even though one is liberated. Right? Narad Muni continues, the vision of the Lord's form provides one with a deep satisfaction that is beyond description. Thus, when the Lord vanished from my sight, I jumped up with great agitation, for I felt the great shock that one experiences upon losing something highly desirable. I wanted to see the Lord again so badly, but despite my efforts to capture him with my meditation, I could not do so. Because of this, I felt intense disappointment and gave way to depression and grief. 18:19. But in the next verse, we'll see he's not going to a psychologist. He's taking care of this with Krishna consciousness. He's in the forest. You know, how you say, online consultation. There are two important lessons from verse 18 through 19. One, the Lord is not formless. He has a spiritual form. And two, there is no mechanical process for seeing the Lord's spiritual form. Because otherwise, you say he meditated, he couldn't get to see the Lord again. So that's the point, is he's relying on his mechanical process. Yes. What's missing in his definition here? He's saying, the vision of the Lord's form provides one with a deep satisfaction that's beyond description. Right? When the Lord vanished, I jumped up with great agitation, shocked, you know, from experience of losing something highly desired. I wanted to see the Lord so badly, despite my efforts. What is not described here?
It's all about him.
It's all about him. Right? Though this all about him is a connection with the Lord, it's still about him. This is the point, that's that switch in Sarvadharmam Parityaja. Right? Before that, Krishna's explained all the technicalities of how you can interact with the Lord. But those to be stable means it depends upon it's being done for the Lord. If you're doing it for yourself, you'll advance nicely. Right? And you can get up to the platform of liberation. But not beyond. To get liberation, that means it's the Lord's mercy. So to move into bhava, that's the Lord's grace. So he had the grace of the Uttamadhikaris, right? Of his spiritual masters here. So therefore the Lord's blessing was there. But then the next blessing is praying on him. Right? So that comes by that association on that platform of the mood of the others. So now he has the instructions of the spiritual masters. But so far he's not talking so much about the mood.
Yes.
Right? Because their mood is it's about the Lord.
Yes.
You understand? These are subtle. Because otherwise, we just take it's connected, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
you know? Does that make sense? The point is how much it's touching, that much perfection is there. So it's not that, oh, it's nothing. But the point is the devotional touching. Because it's like, as Vishnu's pointing out, it's not about the Lord. It's about the devotees. Because Duryodhana is seeing the Lord. Kamsa is seeing the Lord. Hiranyakashipu is seeing the Lord. It means it's just, you know, long lists of people are seeing the Lord directly. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that. Not in meditations. Right? Hiranyaksha, they're there fighting. Mm-hmm. Right? That's going on for hours and hours. Right? So the demigods start freaking out. Then, okay, then you kill them. Right? You know, it's going on. So they're physically contacting, interacting. You know, emotions are, you know, being exchanged, all this thing. But there's no devotion. So therefore, it's not lasting. Yeah? And we see is that Hiranyaksha takes another birth. So does Hiranyakashipu. Yes.
Can we say the same thing if we see the Lord in the temple and not associate with devotee?
The temple, but why is the Lord in the temple? Why is he manifest in the temple?
For the devotee?
Yes, because the devotee's invited him. So therefore you're getting benefit of with the devotee. But until you acknowledge that, and when you acknowledge that, you get more benefit. When you try to take up that mood of practice of the devotees, that's when you get your best benefit.
Yes. Alright. In the case of Putana, she also was thinking about herself, but she got a special blessing from Krishna. She got promoted, and that's a source of amazing for some Vaishnavas. They actually refer to the mercy of Krishna.
Yes, no, that's there. Because it means the point is Krishna's independent. So he accepted that service, because service is rendered. So he means also Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, the service is being rendered in the fighting. But the understanding of it's not really there. Right? Now the Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, in other words, the line of Jaivi Jai, they're in their own category amongst demons. Because they're devotees who have taken up that position. Right? So they may be in that point of illusion by Yoga Maya that they don't remember all this, so they're acting just as demons. Right? But others, you know, like Karna, he was also a demon. You know, in his previous life he was Narakasura. So when they go up north and they see this huge mountain that's from the distance sparkling white, you know, and they're wondering, wow, what's that? Then it's pointed out that's the bones of Narakasura. And he was a big demon. Right? So Krishna and Arjuna as Naranarayan, they are killed him. Right? But it had never been a development of this idea of relationship with the Lord. Right? It means that there was, we see in that one element before the battle when Krishna's talking to Karna, just alone, that there's kind of a closeness. You know, it means Karna's talking to Krishna as somebody who's more of like a closer, a confidant. But it still doesn't have that element of service. Right, because he's still considering his own position. Only at the end, when Krishna comes as the Brahman, he gives the charity, then some services rendered. Does that make sense? So, but these are there. Now, Putana is also in a special category because as she in the last life was Bali Maharaj's daughter. And when Vamanadeva came and she saw him, she was so attracted by his beauty. You know, and he was so small and cute that she had motherly feelings towards him. And that, you know, was cultivated through the whole, you know, beginning of the pastime. Very nicely. Until, you know, she, you know, tied her father up with the ropes of Varuna. Then she got angry and thought, you know, she wanted to poison him. You know, like that. So does that make sense of the pastime? Yes. Yeah. So there was already those feelings. So there was a uniqueness there. But still, it's by the Lord's grace he awards that, because the situation would not be what you would give as a recommendation for development of devotional exchange with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the Lord is not formless as experienced by Narad Muni, but His form is completely different from all forms of our material experience. For the whole duration of our life, we go see different forms in the material world, but none of them is just apt to satisfy the mind. Nor can any one of them vanish all perturbance of the mind. These are the special features of the transcendental form of the Lord. One who has once seen that form is not satisfied with anything else. No form in the material world can any longer satisfy the seer. That the Lord is formless or impersonal means that He has nothing like a material form and not like any material personality. So, everything expanding from the Lord, it's all manifesting different qualities of the Lord, and very, very, as we mentioned, the material world is a millionth portion. Then you have the individual universes, the individual planetary systems, and the individual space where we happen to be, and then the particular manifestation. So we're talking about such minute manifestations of the Lord's glories. So, but all these glories together are coming from the Lord. But still, they only make up a millionth part. So now, if you have directly the Lord's form, which is the source of all other forms, naturally by seeing that form, one is fully satisfied. Right? Because before that, materially, you are not materially satisfied. But you have hopes that you will be. Right? There's the ideas that, okay, this didn't make me happy, but that will. You know, we got our place, we, you know, there on the Upper East Side, but it didn't happen, right? Okay, it's not, you know, okay, great. You know, how much can you look at Central Park, right? You know, it's like, you know, okay, so then, you know, okay, we get, you know, in Paris, what is it, you know, was it Champs-Élysées? Yeah, so like that, but then, you know, after a while, it's still the same stuff, right? Same tourists, same everything. So maybe it's Monte Carlo, you know, saying, so you just keep on going until, you know, you end up, who knows where, Tokyo or something, you know, just keep going. But the point is you're never satisfied, but there's the hope they'll be satisfied. But seeing the Lord's form, you actually gain that satisfaction. Then there's nothing material that you have any interest to look at that you will think, I will get some satisfaction.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. There is no mechanical process to see the form of the Lord. It completely depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. We cannot demand the Lord to be present before our vision, just as we cannot demand the sun to rise whenever we like. Right? So there's not something, I stand on my head, I hold my breath, you know. You know, it's like that. The sun's not going to come up. It's just going to come when it wants, right? Get yourself one of those, what is it, 18, what do you call it, looms, you know, flashlight, you know, like, give you some idea, but the sun rises out of its own accord. So also the Lord is pleased to be present out of His causeless mercy. It means He likes to be there. You want to see. You behave in a way. It's not the mechanics of it. It's the devotees again. You're acting to please the devotees. Follow that. That's what pleases the Lord. So He's happy to show Himself. Right? It's not the mechanics. But the point is the mechanics are what's given by the guru. Right? Because you have to express your desire somehow. But it's the desire to express it following the order of Guru that pleases the Lord. It's not the mechanics of it. That's why someone does the mechanics wonderfully, someone does them not so wonderfully. They can both get the same result. Right? We have example of someone doing wonderful. You know, their abilities are wonderful, and they get darshan Lord. And someone whose abilities are not so great, and they get darshan Lord. Right? The one Brahmin, he can't even read. He gets darshan of the Lord. Or that he's feeding Krishna banana peels and throwing away the bananas. Now that's definitely not skill. You know? But the point is the Lord's pleased. And then we see, you know, Yudhishthir, emperor of the world, right? Arjuna, there's no one more accomplished than him in arms. And he's seeing, you know, seeing the Lord. So you get both. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not about the mechanics. It's about the Lord being pleased by trying to please the devotees who have love for Him.
Right? Yes. It's about the intention.
The intention, yes. But that intention is pleasing the devotees, yes, to please the Lord. Yes, so it's all about the intention. Yes. Yes.
In the discussion of the mechanics, sometimes we may depend on devotee mechanics.
That's the problem, is that when we say it's not the mechanics, then we say, oh, we don't need them. But otherwise, how do you express them? It's just like the difference between a good cook and a not good cook, it's not the pots. A good cook can still cook in pots that aren't that great and still do very nice. And the person who's not a good cook with great pots still doesn't cook good. Right? It's not as burnt. You know, that's all.
Could it be that it got even more burnt?
Yeah, you could, because you know it doesn't burn in the pan, so you walked away for longer. Yeah, you could. You've had that experience.
As a for instance.
Okay. Not forensics.
No.
Okay. You don't want to analyze. No. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that, but it's the, there, that the, there's the, yeah. Okay. So it's not about the mechanics. Like that. But mechanics are expressing, means the good cook still is through the pots, expresses the cooking. This is the important thing. Is you need the medium, the mechanics are important as an expression, but it's not because of the mechanics that you got your results. If it's because of that, then Jaimini was 100% correct. But we're pointing out that Jaimini's, you know, he's missed the point. It's about the intent, and it's about the mercy of the Lord. But his point is, I did the mechanics, I deserve the results. Right? So it's you know, not about intent, it's not about mercy. Is that something?
Yes. And if the intention is pure, automatically the desire to do the mechanics is better.
Yes, it's better. Well, it'll be the best that, yes, of your ability.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
like that. That's the whole point. It's just like I can, you know, I've seen, let's say, students in their application of their ability in their class. And I've seen kids that have very little ability but use it 100%.
Yes.
They'll get as good, if not better, marks than the kids, yes, who are really intelligent and don't apply themselves.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. So therefore, yes, it will be better. The intent is correct. You'll get the best you can. Yes.
We see that both sides, the banana peels and Arjuna, they got darshan of the Lord. But what does it mean, pleasing the Lord more?
Pleasing the Lord more?
Yeah. Can the Lord more pleased or less pleased, or if he's pleased?
No, but I don't catch the context. It means what are you comparing this to, that you're getting this perspective?
I'm comparing the Arjuna's example is more opulence, basically, and the banana peels is very simple. So it doesn't mean that...
Well, it's very simple, but it's not that it's not based on... we can't say in this... I wouldn't use the term opulence-based, because opulence-based would be... You would go between opulence-based or spontaneity-based. That would be the application. But it's not defined whether Shukadeva was, you know, interested in Vaikuntha or in Goloka, like that. So it's just a matter of, all he had was bananas. You know? Does that make sense? You know, he probably had a banana tree, they were ripe, they cut the bunch, you know, because otherwise where do you get that many bananas? Does that make sense? So it's the point is it's not, there the comparison was given about the skill. Arjuna's skill is very good. Krishna's there. He's still, his skill works nice. He's not bewildered. But if the Lord wants him to be bewildered, he is. The first chapter, yes, of Gita, he is bewildered, despite his skill. Yes. And Shukadeva, just out of that love, he's not looking at the skill. He's not applying the skill. You know, at most any other time, there's a good chance he's not known for eating banana peels. Does that make sense? So we're just talking about the element of how well a skill is being applied in the Lord's service. That's not what pleases the Lord. It's the desire, the intent, is what's the important thing. Why do we have these? Why are these two verses, these two purports? I mean, these two paragraphs coming in this. Are these the same purport?
I think the first verse is
second. Okay. Why are they coming one after another? The first one is how the impersonalists see it, the Mayavadis, the Jnanis. The second one is how the Karmis see it.
Yes. Yes.
So karma and jnana has been taken care of by these two points. Does that make sense? So we're trying to establish the position of devotional service. Is that okay?
I'm just not really clear for me. Is there a gradation of service?
That's a different topic. You understand? See the context of what we're discussing here. Because here it's talking about seeing the Lord and being useless unless there's that devotion. Where do you get the devotion? From the devotees. Right? So because you've gotten the devotion from the devotees, therefore the Lord is, as Prabhupada says, pleased to show himself. And the other is to do yodana, he's not pleased to show himself. Right? But he's showing himself because he's a messenger for the Pandavas. So therefore, as a messenger, if you can't be seen, much more harder to deliver a message. Or at least to have a discussion. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore he's doing. So the point is this, that's the whole gist, the whole Bhagavatam, because this is six chapters, so Narad Muni's trying to convince Vyasadeva about what he's missed in Mahabharata. Because Mahabharata, as he's pointed out, it has stuff, means every point that's made in every scripture that he's documented is in the Mahabharata. And in Mahabharata he's made points that aren't in the other literatures. So you don't get better than that as far as the points go. But what is missed is this element of the predominance of pure devotion. So that's the only real thing, because otherwise people know the skills, they have all the things. You just look at the history of India, you know, from this time, you know, up into recent times. It's just the wealth and the peace. There is no country on the planet that ever compares. Never. Right? Volume of people, like you see in the wars in China and their different things, they've had that here. You know, the amount of volumes of weaponry, it means everything they've ever had. You know, the kings, it's everything, but no one's ever had as much wealth as here. Everywhere else comes and takes wealth from here. No one needs wealth here. Right? The Brits didn't leave wealth here. Right? You know, the Mughals didn't leave wealth here. You know, unless they died and they didn't get to take it away. Right? You know what I'm saying? When the Shah of Iran went down, I saw one picture. They showed all of this cutlery on this huge table, all gold and silver, and tons of it. You know, I doubt, you know, that any other monarch in the world has that much, had that much, and that was all collected from India. You know, so no one has that kind of volume of stuff. So the point is. You're giving these examples of these extremes for this, and so you're trying to establish that devotional service, pure devotional service, is the real thing. Because this is the opening. The conversation that has been heard starts in the second canto, so the first canto is basically your opening. Does that make sense? You know, in the second half of the 12th canto is your closing. So this is opening. So the opening, you know, as it mentions, from the opening and closing is how you understand what the literature is about. So the opening, all it's been talking about so far is pure devotional service. And making very, very fine differentiations in devotional service. That's why we were bringing up these points here, is that so you can tell the difference. Because otherwise you'll say, he saw the Lord, that's perfect. Or he's serving the Lord, that's perfect. No, but the point is that if seeing the Lord, serving the Lord, isn't in pursuance of the pleasing the devotees who have that devotion for the Lord, it's not going to get the ultimate goal. So even if you're saying gradations, the gradations are simply the quality of that love. That's all. Does that make sense? It's still not going to be the skill. Does that make sense?
And it depends on selflessness, or what does it depend on the quality of love?
It depends upon devotion. It means love for Krishna. It means how can you love somebody if you're selfish? That's why love in this material world is not considered actually love, because it's about yourself. You love the person because of what you get from them. Not you love the person because they're just so wonderful. Does that make sense? That's why I said the mother's affection for the child is as close as you get here. Because the degree of selflessness is so great. But there's still the sense of possession, so it's still, you can find some weakness in it. But that's why it says it's as close as you get. But the selflessness is you won't find any greater position in the material world. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to understand this, the context that a particular point is being presented in. If you want to view it from another, you have to be able to yourself understand what is that context you want to view it from. Because from any one point, because any point's about Krishna, that means you can go out into the unlimited other points. So every point's connected. So you have to be very careful, because there's common words or common examples. It doesn't mean that you're applying it in the same way. It's a different presentation. But you can connect them, but you have to stick to what is the conversation. It's not that those things aren't there. Does that make sense? So verses 20 to 28. This section describes how the Lord dispelled Narada's unhappiness with his words. Narada Muni continues. Upon seeing my sincere attempts in that lonely place, the Lord, while remaining invisible, spoke to me with a very grave voice, just to mitigate my sorrow. Verse 20. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, in the Vedas it is said that God is beyond the approach of mundane words and intelligence, and yet by his causeless mercy one can have suitable senses to hear him or to speak to him. This is the Lord's inconceivable energy. And because spirit means the material can hear the spiritual. That's because it becomes empowered. Right? Like that. One upon whom his mercies bestowed can hear him. The Lord was much pleased with Narada Muni, and therefore the necessary strength was invested in him so that he could hear the Lord. It is not, however, possible for others to perceive directly the touch of the Lord during the probationary stage of regulative devotional service. It was a special gift for Narada. The Supreme Lord said, O Narada, I regret to inform you that we will not be able to see me again during this lifetime, because one who is not completely freed from all material contamination can hardly approach me. Footnote 62. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur renders 1.6.21 as follows. Oh, in this body you will not be able to see me again, but lax practitioners who still have some contamination cannot see me at all. So there he saw, but others won't be able to see at all. From the commentary, in this birth, having the body of a practitioner, you cannot see me. I am invisible, Durdarsha, to those faulty practitioners of yoga, Kuyoginam, whose contaminations such as lust have not been burned up. The intention here is to say, but I showed myself to you, therefore you are not a faulty practitioner. Right? So he's practicing nicely, but the point is as a sadhaka, generally one wouldn't see the Lord. Right? So he's been graced with that ability to see the Lord. But because he's a practitioner, he won't be able to see for the rest of his lifetime. But now he knows what he's looking for. Right?
So
yes.
Why is he letting him know this, that you won't see me again in this life? I mean, it doesn't seem very motivational.
No, but the point... I mean, you have the element of motivational you can see, but what it is that you're looking for is that he's trying to see the Lord, so that's beyond any of the material. But it was that you got to see because, you know, somehow the Lord was pleased with him, you know, because of his sincere intention. But the stage that he's at is not, one is not up to that level. But so he's also seen, that is the inspiration.
Yeah.
Right? Because the otherwise, if it's a matter of, generally your inspirational things, if you look at them, they're all, you know, self-motivated, you know, self-centered.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that's the difficulty. Well, this then is not about that. This is about, what do you say? Yeah, this is about that ultimate position. But because he's not faulty in his practice, but he's not at that stage where this would be the natural thing where he can see, right?
Yes.
Now, this could therefore either position him within the Madhyama platform, right, as a sadhaka, you could say, but at the same time, as we know within Bhava Bhakti, that still, in Bhav Sadhana, it's not until you come to the point of samadhi, full absorption, that then you would be able to be admitted into seeing the Lord. Because before that, still it's not. So you can still be on the liberated platform, but it's not the position in which you would naturally see the Lord.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. So it still is up to the devotees, the associates. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, Anucheta 158, Srila Jiva Goswami takes up the matter of different theories about the obstacles in devotional service. Srila Jiva teaches that offenses are involved in the creation of such obstacles, but he does not disagree with others who say that such obstacles are the Lord's will in order to increase the eagerness of a devotee to perform devotional service. For example, Bharat Maharaj accepted birth as a deer due to offense, and also as the mercy of Sri Krishna. And so both aspects are there. Because it's a mercy that you still have a position to function from or to learn from, like that. So that's, it's always a good thing. But the difficulty comes is that we tend to try to look at it by the mechanics. Right? Why is he in this position? It's because of the mechanics of having created the offense. But as has been pointed out, that you're only going to see the Lord by His mercy anyway. It's not by the mechanics. So that means it's not the mechanics that you see the Lord, it's not the mechanics that you don't see the Lord. It's that you haven't surrendered to the devotees, don't have the proper intent. This is what either brings you, that's what makes you not go. I have surrendered, have the proper intent, but then that... Does that make sense? So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because we'll always look at it in mechanics.
Yes.
That's why, it's, you know, just like generally explanations of things are according to time and space.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like that, because that's how we
yes.
view things.
Yes.
But ultimately, the spiritual, it's not about time and space. That's why when you try to, if you're dealing with the material world, it works nicely, time and space works well. And within the spiritual world, then you can kind of place where things are, but it doesn't necessarily function that way. And then when you're bridging between the two, that's where the real problem is. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
You know, because otherwise, then, you know, how does Krishna go from where he is, in, you know, in, at his place to Vrindavan or to Govardhan so quickly?
Mm.
You know, I mean, if we walk there, it'll take us all day. You know,
Prabhupada said he takes large steps.
He takes large steps. that explains it.
The devotees were asking, they had found in some scripture a description of a lotus that was closing and opening, and
yes,
some
yes.
they could be closed. Or
yeah.
Prabhupada just said, he takes large steps.
Don't worry about it. Because the point is one will go on those elements, but then the whole thing comes again back down to mechanics. And then it's about the opulence of Vrindavan, not about the mood of Vrindavan. Because the point is just the mood, he wants to be there, but at the same time it's just the thing of going there.
Mm-hmm.
So when those are accomplished, he's there.
He walks and does not walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah. The point is he wants to take longer, it takes longer. He wants to take shorter, it takes shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about the time and space. It's about pleasing the Lord. You understand?
Yeah.
It's not that it doesn't... mechanically work like that by that lotus opening and closing. Mm. But the point is that that's what we have to hear, that we can accept it.
Yeah.
Then the point is it's not about rasa, it's not about pleasing the Lord, it's not about his pastimes. It's about us and some mechanical, you understand?
Yes.
That's the weakness to us. Therefore, better you means if you just understand, he takes big steps, it comes back to the person Bhagavan. Otherwise, we're actually dealing with, you know, how Yoga Maya arranges all these things.
Yes.
You know, and you know, unless we can tell the difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, what's it's even the point? You know, because Yoga Maya arranges these things not because it's greatness, it's because of the Lord's pleasure. We're saying in Vaikuntha, then there's greatness. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, some think that the Lord himself arranges for the upsurge of some kind of previous fruit of activity, so the devotee, separated from him, longs to attain him, and in this way come to love him more than before. The previous birth of Narad Muni, where even though he had begun to love the Lord, he still had material desires, is an example of this. The Lord explains this in the following words, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.6.21. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be qualified, able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely freed from all material taints can hardly see me. Right, so here he's saying that some think, right? So he's pointing out how it would work that way. In other words, there are, since Krishna's, there's all these different ways that you can look at it, depending upon which aspect you want to bring out, what you want to emphasize. So that's not the problem. The point is what is it that the angle that the acharyas are going to look at it from? Mm-hmm. So some are looking at it in this way, then it's fine to look in that way. But then there's the other thing that he's going to bring here about the mercy, like this. Because Krishna, everything's going on by Krishna's arrangement. Point is the his energies do everything, but it's him. He's non-different from the energies. So in that way, he's doing, right? Does that make sense? So, but at the same time, is it just a matter of which you want to emphasize in the discussion, right? So if we want to emphasize that aspect, then that will be brought out. If we want to emphasize another aspect, that so it's not that they're contradictory. It's always important that they're not contradictory. That's why Jiva Goswami is explaining it this way. Because some might think there's a contradiction. That the Lord appeared before Narada once in his previous birth is proof of the mercy theory. For he appeared to increase Narada's eagerness to see him. Yet the Lord does not mention that Narada in that birth was not completely free. But yet the Lord does mention that Narada in that birth was not completely free from material taints. Hence, Srila Jiva Goswami maintains that offenses from previous lifetimes, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj and Maharaj Indrajumna, are also factors. Right? So the Lord's grace and these offenses, so all these things are there. So how do we look at it? For ourselves, it's what we're running into these problems because of our offenses. You know, that we're able to, even in that position, engage in the Lord's service and be connected to the Lord, that's the Lord's mercy. You understand? So it's the same position. Because yes?
How many devotees then can be freed from karma? From this discussion?
By the Lord's grace. Because it's only by bhakti, because nothing mundane can free you from karma. Means you perform activities of nice karma, you'll be freed from the production of any more karma. But nice karma itself won't situate you in the spiritual world. Right? So therefore, the only place to function is within the material world. And by functioning in the material world, generally one always gets involved. So then you'll, again, generate the karma. Does that make sense? So by the performance of nice karma, you'll better your position. But for it to be actually truly nice karma, then only devotion, only bhakti is truly nice karma. Does that make sense? So, do we see what the difficulty is here? Because we're dealing with the material and how it functions, you know, its mechanics, and the mechanics of the spiritual world. So here, what are the mechanics based on?
Time and space.
Time and space, our desire, like this, you know, like that. That kind of elements. But in the spiritual world, it's designed upon the Lord's pleasure. Because the point is technically, what does that mean, time and space? Because he is everything. That means he's bigger than everything. At the same time, as then he's, you know, a very nice size standing in front of Mother Yashoda and running around the courtyard. Right? So how does that work? How does everything fit into that size? At the same time, as that size is accommodating the cosmic creation. So technically, you know, the time and space is a you could say, a production that adds to the flavor, the rasa. You know, it's just like, does that make sense? It's just like in a drama, then you have the set or props, right? They're there to help in the rasa. That's what they call props, right? Prop, you prop something up. It helps with to appreciate the flavor. It's not about the props. It's about the acting and the exchange. So it's the pastime that's important. And then all these technical points, how his energies function, that's just, you know, how they do it. Is that okay? So it's not about... So that's the difficulty, is being able to understand that the original... It's not about that. It has its mechanics, but no one really cares. But in the material world, since there's nothing else, and now, if in the material world what you want happens, do you care about the mechanics? Not at all. But it's when things don't go the way you want, that's when you start worrying about the mechanics. You know, if I did this and I did that and all these different things. So that's why then, when it's not going right, then it's being blocked by offenses, which is then coming from the mechanics of how we're dealing. But it's going nicely, it's by the mercy of the Lord. So the two function simultaneously. Yes?
Can we say that in sadhana bhakti, then mechanics are more prominent, and then later when the taste develops, then the, you know, the rasa and the Krishna, they take the prominent position?
Yes, yes, naturally. But it's not that the mechanics have to be, it's just that for our nature, they are. You know, it's just like, for our nature, then the quality of the kirtan may have a lot to do with how much we appreciate the kirtan. But it's actually just the Lord's name that is attractive. You know? But at the same time, when you get into the spiritual world, therefore everybody has great qualifications, so it always is good. But it's not because it's good, that's why you like it. That's the difference. That's what we were discussing before. It's not about the opulence of Vrindavan that the devotees are impressed by. They discuss it sometimes, but it's discussed in relationship to Krishna, how they're trying to please Krishna, or just how it, you know, or they don't even discuss it in that way. It's just a part of something funny, something interesting. You know, like we're saying that they have that, you know, one of the walls in Krishna's, you know, in Nandabhavan, you know, in the courtyard, and that on one of the, I don't know if it's on one of the pews, whether all the walls have it, but at least one of the walls have it, where they have carved parrots carved out of emeralds, and they look so real that real parrots come and sit down next to them and start talking and interacting. So then that's viewed just at how funny that is, that the parrot can't tell. You know, it's just something, it's just a conversation piece. But but that as an opulence, you don't hear of any opulence like that in Vaikuntha. You know, it means just the opulence is something. But here it's just something to create some fun to laugh about. You know, it's not an opulence, but then when we describe, let's say, the that courtyard of Yudhishthira Maharaja's assembly house that was built by Maya Dhanava. There he had these water bodies, and in it he had real lotuses, and he had ones made out of jewels and that. You know, so he had that. So there it's about opulence. Right? Because they're not talking about how, you know, that parents are making a mistake, because this is an assembly house. These are kshatriyas. This is opulence. You know? You know, we talk about how, you know, you couldn't tell the difference between what was water and what was land, you know, when you're moving through the place. But that was pointing out how much of an idiot, you know, Duryodhana was, you know, more, you know, so. But, you know, so it's, you just have to see how it's used. Because you see is that was the position of it, but its use was more for interest. You know, like Bhima was having great satisfaction in watching Duryodhana, you know, think there's a door, the door is open, but actually it's a crystal door, and he walks right into it. You know, or another time, it's done so nicely, the door is open, but he thinks it's closed, so he's going carefully. And, you know, these things, Bhima is just like, he's just like, you know, it's Bhima's day. Bhima's fully satisfied. Okay. Narada requested the Lord, just show yourself once more to me. The Lord answered in verse 22, seeing me just once, not many times, is enough to produce desire for me. Kamaya, as a special favor, I have shown myself to you just to increase your desire to come to me. For the more you hanker after my association, the more quickly you will become freed from all material desires. And so Krishna has given a major, the real hint on how the devotional process moves. What actually makes it quicker or slower is desire. Like that. You know. So, you desire it, you will apply yourself better. You know, and in applying yourself better, there's less offenses. Right? Because if offenses get in the way, then you want the Lord to see the Lord, then you'll act in a way that offenses aren't generated. Right? And because of that attempt, the Lord is kind, and by His mercy, then you can see it, because it's not the mechanics of what you're doing, but it's that you're using those to express your desire. Right? So his point is that since you can look at the Lord unlimitedly, there's no question that there'll ever be. Means one is fully materially satisfied that there's nothing within the material world that you would ever want to see again. You're satisfied in seeing the Lord. But on the spiritual platform, because Krishna is Navayovana, ever fresh, you can see him, you know, forever and still want to see him more. So Krishna's point, even if he shows once more, it won't change the position.
One more?
Yeah. So it's just, you know, so his point is, once is enough. You know. Yeah.
If it's a divine, then he doesn't have any material desires. What was the point? That he's the practitioner? That's why he...
A practitioner, but at the same time, his material desire, because as we see is that... He's still that element that's about himself. Because we have to appreciate what is the material position within the liberating position. Right? Because that's where it starts to get a little hazy, right? Right? And so then, one can be liberated, but it's still a matter of not seeing it in relationship to the devotees. Right? So you're not actually seeing the Lord in the spiritual world, because then that liberated state is very much appreciated, right? So then it's not about the Lord. One may not have a material desire, but it's not about the Lord, so it's still the same problem, you know. So one could technically say on that platform that's material desire, you know, one from I'm advanced, or here, he doesn't talk about disciples and all that or being gurus, so that fault doesn't seem there. But the element of advancement, maybe. Because it has to come to the point where it's not about how advanced you are. Yes, you're advanced, but it's not about that. That means this is in the lower stages of bhava. Now, what about more advanced stages of bhava? Right? It means the gopis that were fully absorbed in Krishna, right? So then they've developed that purva rag, that complete attachment. They've gone to the rasa dance, right? And when they get to the rasa dance and they're with Krishna, what did they think?
They got proud.
They got proud that I'm advanced. I'm the most fortunate, you know, we're the most fortunate girls in the creation. Which is true, it's a fact. It's not that it's not a fact. But it's just intimate relationships not based on facts. You know, that's the thing. It's based on mood. Right?
Yes.
Yeah? No? You can't refer to, no, but I did this. Yes, that's a fact. But then there's rasa. That's another thing.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
On a much lower level.
You have to forgive him. He was gone for a few weeks. He missed out on this. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The reason we emphasize so much for regulative principle is because we are not in the standard human life. Because as soon as you are, they're just like normal to human life.
Yeah, no, they are. Means like we see from Manu, following the four regulative principles are just the standard position. But because the living entity's tendency is towards their own happiness, their own enjoyment, that what so one can drop from the standard of perform proper performance of duty into what you think will make you happy. Right? And so the four regulative principles generally are the first place one starts from.
There are the stories from Bangladesh where they ask if they will follow the four regulative principles and they don't get it. I mean, why wouldn't you? It just doesn't, it's not in the purview of their existence. You know?
It means of not following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, why are you asking?
So are you planning to breathe?
Yeah, exactly.
Why you ask?
Yeah, exactly. Quite funny. Yeah. Excellent yeah. Service attitude in Bangladesh, by the way.
Okay.
Never seen anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, they're still following the Bengali culture.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so when we came, you know, in the 70s, you'd see that here.
Yeah, yeah.
But there, they're maintaining it because of the natures that, being minority, the tendency is to That's stick more closely to your culture. While here, being the majority, then they don't bother.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But basically, that's Bengali. Okay. Okay, that's verse 22. There was no material desire in Narada, and yet, just to increase his intense desire, the Lord did not appear again. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary. So now here is being pointed out that there is no material desire, right? Okay. Only by slight increase in longing, prema will not develop to the state of youthfulness in a person having somewhat weak prema. My rule is that I show myself one time only to a person practicing in his present body, in a sadhaka deha, who has developed prema. The infant state of prema in the sadhaka's body matures to a youthful state in the siddha deha by an increase of prema arising from longing in separation. That youthful prema allows the devotee to see me constantly and serve me directly. I alone, and not my devotee, know the process of fulfilling the desires of my devotee. You who simply desire me, right, because it says the devotee doesn't know, because the devotee is that, hey, show one more time, right? You know, but he says, well, that's not the process. That's not going to work. Right? You who simply desire me, mat kama, even without having seen me, will become free from all desires for material enjoyment. Harich Chayan. This statement does not actually apply to Narada since he did not have any material desires, being at the level of prema already. But saying this, the Lord shows the nature of devotion. Initially, additionally, by saying this, the Lord increases the humility of Narada. So then we go back. Here is that message. Who's this speaking? Vishwana. Okay. So now he's confirming again when Narada Muni said that he came to that level of prema when he was still in the ashram by the association of the... That, so that's the position. But he's taking the position of a sadhaka. And he's performed the activities of the sadhaka. So then the Lord here is then establishing this also. But also when he's saying here weak prema or infant prema is what? Baba. Right? You understand? So it is prema. But it's so you'll start getting the symptoms and everything of prema, but it's still in its infant stage. So then you'll get this kind, you may see the Lord once. So that increases that desire. Because it will be that the eternal associates getting their association will point out Krishna. Right? And then that will create that intense desire. So the same position will be there. Right? But one has to have that complete, full desire to see Krishna, to be absorbed. Because seeing, as we see, is not enough. There must be service rendered. There must be a desire to please the Lord by that. Right? So, in other words, that infant stage of prema that Narad Muni is manifesting here still has to mature. Therefore, even here, he has no material desire. Still, then from the position of infant prema, then it needs to mature to youthfulness. Right? Yes.
So on one side, we mentioned before that it was about himself.
Yes.
He wanted to see again Mat.
Yes.
Krishna said Mat. That was one side. And from the other, because Baba is still not fully developed by friend.
Yeah, because it still hasn't fully become about Krishna.
Yes.
Like that. You know, just like taste, it's about the taste you're getting. Right? Mm-hmm. You understand? But then that matures into the person. The attachment, so then you can deal on that platform with Baba. So you have all these overlapping elements that we want to get a very clear description of one aspect. That those each of those aspects is clear on their own, but at the same time they do have all the connection. Because everybody being an individual, which aspect has come to its proper stage at what point? Right? But when it comes to the platform of full prema, this youthful prema, as Krishna is mentioning here, then that prema, that would be, you would say, doesn't have any faults. There's no weaknesses. Right? But this infant stage of prema, there's still some weakness. So we can understand that how great of a position is being offered. I just want to make sure no one makes a mistake. Not lunch, not dinner, breakfast.
Krishna brought out the. So could you just comment for us? Would that be like a bring out humility for us?
Yeah, whenever there's obstacles, generally humility is the first stage. If one wants to cross that, humility is the important element. You know.
Krishna may put an obstacle there to
means Krishna will put an obstacle to increase our desire. Right? But it's not that the obstacle he doesn't put is not in line with our offenses. You know, because what obstacle to put? You know? You put according to your karma. You know, let's say you're walking down the road and there's a, you know, how you say, 1 centimeter high pebble on the road. Is it a problem?
No.
No. Now, if you're an ant, yes. So, depending on your karma. So in other words, the obstacle has to match your karma. So that's why you can say it's from that, your offenses. But at the same time is because, but it's by the Lord's mercy. So the Lord's mercy matches what is your, yeah. So humility is the only way to get over things. Okay, so
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura Premadanta ki.